I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Yo, fuckers. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne.
I'm Christina.
Hello.
Oh, man, London, you were so cool.
Ugh, you were like you New guys. York, but with a fancy accent.
I know. And all these kids.
Hello.
So we had shows at the Soho Theater. They sold out in 3 days, which is why we didn't really talk about the gigs on the podcast very much, because we got a lot of, I didn't know you were in London.
Well, that's pay how more attention.
Yeah, what the fuck? But there's great. It was amazing. It was wonderful. One memorable moment I had was on the plane ride back. Which I know you had some memorable, unfortunate moments on the plane ride back.
Well, not on the plane ride, just getting to the plane. Yeah.
I flew Virgin Atlantic, and on the way back, the flight attendants, I love, they're wearing these red skirts and red button-up like jackets, and they have these buns that are perfect. And
their buns makeup, are fucking
well,
perfect.
Well, I know the secret, and anyone can have that perfect-ass bun. You go to H&M, you get yourself a little sponge. Yeah.
I did it for Paula's wedding.
I did too, and I'm like, this don't look right on me, but whatever. Anyway, they're like gorgeous too. And so Stephen and I were sitting in the plane, and then behind us in the middle of the flight on the way back, this guy, the captain turned the seatbelt sign on. And so there was two people that were already up in the aisle trying to go to the bathroom. And this guy, two seats back, gets up in his seat to go to the bathroom. And those flight attendant goes, sir, the seatbelt sign is on. You can't. And he goes, but they're walking around. Everyone's walking around. She goes, sir, you can't get up. The captain turned the seatbelt light on. But they're walking around. She goes, are you a child? And he just fucking shut the fuck up and sat the fuck down. And I was over in my seat going, she's my queen. That girl, whoever you are, random Virgin Atlantic flight attendant, good go you. That was the most... That was the quickest I've ever seen someone shut someone down like that.
Well, British people seem a lot more reasonable from the altercations that Tommy and I witnessed in the streets. They were very reasonable. Like there was, no one was yelling. No, even like there was a incident with like a car going into like a bike, and it was very like the altercation happened, but it was very reasonable and logical.
I did witness an illogical one where a bunch of women were standing in front of a bus because they missed the stop, and they're like, you missed the bloody stop. And I was like, ooh,
But, well, the bus missed the stop, though.
I mean,
right?
It did. They were. Just,
if I was waiting in that fucking London rain, I'd be pissed.
Totally. It wasn't. Yeah, I don't know if it was rain, but yeah, they were pissed.
It's always kind of rainy in London.
Yeah, but still, the women are like, no, you ain't getting away with this. And I'm like, good for you, London women. Good for you.
Yeah. It was a fun town. I have drank tea every day since. Like, I can't get enough of it.
Their tea is way better there, though.
Well, because they do loose leaf. Fuck? I bought loose leaf, and I have like a strainer and everything. And like, you can have that. I mean, because Paula and I are very into tea to begin with. We go to like real tea services and stuff. So
that's really cute.
So I've bought her the stuff, but now I just need to buy it for myself because I don't like coffee. Step. So it's logical that I would get into tea, but now I feel like I have a better understanding of it and how to properly eat it. And
I mean, you went
and
to
enjoy
the
it.
Tea capital of the world.
Yeah. I'm very, very into that. I could get very used to that.
Guys, tea's great. Come see us live. Friday, February 17th, Wendy Starling and I are hosting my birthday edition of Glamour Post. It's sold out, advance tickets, but tickets will be available at the door for $20 cash starting at 7 PM. There's just a few though. I think we'll only have like 10, 82 West 3rd Street, Zinc Bar in the West Village. Crim Fisher's going to be there and a lot of fucking other people. But who cares? You don't care about
Ryan
other people.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
And Jessica.
Jessica Kearson and Cypher Sounds.
Cypher too.
Yeah. Super excited.
And then on Wednesday, February 22nd at 8 p.m. at the Standing Room, it's the monthly edition of The Comedian Project, co-hosted by myself and Katie Hannigan. Tickets are $5 with the code SEX. That's a small venue, so make sure to get tickets early. It's really fun. And we don't tell jokes about sex, dating, or relationships. So if you're in a bad mood about one of those things, don't worry.
It
won't be addressed.
Yeah. Dallas, Texas, Wednesday, March 8th. We're going to be at the Improv.
Salt Lake City, Utah. I've always wanted to go to you. This is not the specific reason, but you know, it'll be fine. On Thursday, March 9th, we'll be at Wise Guys.
Boston. I'm sorry about that.
Boston.
Thursday, April 13th, we're going to be at the Wilbur. There are very few tickets left, and we really want to sell at the Wilbur. So can you buy them?
Yeah, if we don't, I might not even come. And there's a Panera Bread across the street. So, you know. Chicopee, Massachusetts. That's where you're going to end up if you don't get those tickets to Boston. Friday, April 14th, we'll be at the Hookie Lau. I hope they have really good tiki drinks
they
there.
They will.
That's my dream.
They better.
Yeah.
Oh, that would suck if they sucked. No, I'm sure they're great. DC, we're sold out. So, but thank you for buying those. We sold out the fucking 9:30 club, but I know you're
you
not like
snooze, you lose.
I know it's like lame to brag about that, but I don't even care. That's so cool.
No, I mean,
that's all I want to say. I love us. We're so cool.
Austin, Texas, April 20th through the 22nd. We're going to be there for the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. Very exciting.
Houston, Texas. You got Beyonce, but you also got on Sunday, April 23rd, Warehouse Live. We'll be there. I mean, that's cool too. It's where she's from, but you know, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna want to drive by her,
you know, lick her stoop.
Oh, hell, I'll do more to lick it.
Las Vegas, Nevada, Thursday, May 18th through Saturday, May 20th. We're gonna be doing the Crapshoot Comedy Festival. And you guys like to ask us questions about these festivals, like, are there single
like
tickets?
Know.
We don't fucking know. We get an email from our agents, and they say, like, give us a date and a city, and we go, do we want to be there? And do we want to be there on that date? And then we decide. Yeah. We don't know. I don't know, guys.
That's
stop
a great question, but. For Austin, Texas, Moon Tower, passes are only available right now, but individual tickets will be available mid-February. So
logically, they try to sell you the more expensive ticket first.
Come on, guys. And use your noggins.
And then if that doesn't work, they're like, oh, just kidding. Here's a cheaper one.
Yeah.
Because they'd rather have some money than no money.
Exactly. And then everyone's going to go, God damn it. But, you know, this is how festivals work. And I'm learning...
Yeah.
After we do them. That's
just
how
life works. All right, guys. So we just know, we know probably less than you know about
honestly,
our schedule.
Yeah. But you take all your mistakes and your mishaps and the trips and falls and you learn from them. Speaking of.
And anytime we do learn something after we trip and fall, we go on social media.
We tweet
and we
about
talk
it.
About it. So
are you following us? No, because you know how many people listen every episode? Way more than who follow us. My manager was like, you or your social media presence is just very unequal to the amount of people. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm
well,
because
we used to talk about it and then we talked how to talk right. about other things.
Yeah. Can you, my handle, we haven't said this in a while. Mm-hmm. Christina Hutch on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And Corinne's, yours is?
Mine's philanthropy gal on everything. I chose a word that you can fucking Google since no one can spell my goddamn name. So it's the word philanthropy, then the word gal. Can you handle
that? Tweet at her and say, hi, Connie, how are you?
Yeah,
really, see what happens.
If you can't handle that, just don't follow me, is what I would ask.
And then Sorry About Last Night is our comedy duo. Some people get confused, like, when is it? I need the words and names. Sorry About Last Night is our comedy duo. Kind of like, you know, like Broad City's a comedy duo. That's pretty cool. And yeah, so our SRY About Last NYT is our Twitter handle, and Sorry About Last Night on Instagram and Facebook. Vote for us at the Shorty Awards. That's all.
Yeah, the Shorty Awards are the most prestigious awards in social media.
I'm like, Corinne, you want to add something to that? Because I feel like I got nothing.
And like, there's very few things that I care about as far as, but this is,
like,
I don't
winning
know.
Winning is
just
like really
seems
important.
Really good. And it seems like a good look.
It does.
It seems like an excuse as a stand-up comedian who always has to wear fucking jeans to wear a nice dress.
It seems like something you can bring up in a meeting.
That it seems,
or maybe
like,
people bring it up to you.
Right, exactly.
That's even better.
We can make a speech about it. Oh, we can maybe say some curses in public. It's going to be a good time all around.
And I've never been on a red carpet.
Yeah, you don't have to leave. I have, but I was like walking people more important than me.
That's so cool, though.
That was my job.
I'd almost rather do that in my first experience.
I had to like lead Anna Klumsky down while other people we're just like, get out of the way, ugly. Who's this fucking?
Hey, fatty, get the fuck out of my face.
What the fuck are you wearing?
You were a handler, right?
Well, yeah, because I mean, my boss didn't want to do that. So he would,
why not?
He was like, he was like, you can go and be ignored.
If any celebrities are listening to this, first let me know so it could go to my ego. And also, I want to walk a celebrity down the red carpet.
Christina, your manager is right. You're not thinking the right way. You are the celebrity. You can't be fucking handling people. What are you doing?
I gotta go
you
watch
need
Rocky
someone
again.
To handle you.
That's right. I do. If you have a band and it doesn't suck, or one of your friends is a band that doesn't suck,
that's better than yours.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. All the music we that is featured on the podcast is from listeners, which is really fucking cool.
That's really cool of us, or we just had to do it legally.
Yeah, that's true. We really wanted ad money, so we're like, oh, I guess I have to maintain the rights to all these fucking songs. But then I was pleasantly surprised with how talented these people are.
Yeah, I like it. New music.
It's really cool. The guy I fuck, Steven, he picks the music, and email him streaming links to gwfpodcastmusic@gmail.com. Do it. Speaking of doing it.
Yes.
The last time I did it, it was on a Casper mattress.
Good transition.
Oh, shit.
Very strong.
The Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Supportive memory foam creates an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. Wow. Try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. You don't have to go to no mattress store and be like, it's this winky. I want to get a Starbucks, honey. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend a third of your life on it. God, I wish I didn't have to sleep. But if I do, I'm glad I saw on a Casper. Free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. Sorry, everywhere else. With over 20,000 reviews, and an average of 4.8 stars, this is very specific, is quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. Listeners of Guys We Fucked, you want $50 off any mattress purchase? Go visit casper.com/GWF. Use the code GWF at checkout. That's casper.com/GWF. GWF at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Casper. Go fuck someone tonight.
My favorite part of that was that you also did an ad for Starbucks within the Casper.
Oh, shit. Well, it wasn't a competing company, so that's cool. I do that a lot. I'm like, Uber, Lyft. Delete your Uber account.
Don't worry. I just edited it out when I uploaded the ad. Because they're not going to listen to the podcast. I know they're not.
And even if they do, they'll be like, and they hear, they're like, nah, whatever.
I mean, I should get credit for being as savvy as I am. Come on.
Oh, dude, we trashed.
I was like, and they don't need to hear this part. And upload. Yeah, I mean, I just really edit around a lot of the stuff we say. So good for us.
Truth and media.
aren't they mad someone knows how to use Final Cut Pro?
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
I don't use iMovie. Fuck y'all iMovie skills.
I don't know. I have no idea how to use iMovie.
Oh, iMovie's great. It's kind of similar to Final Cut 10, but...
It's, like, too simple. I was like, I need more buttons and more complications, and then I'll feel like... Well, I can't use these new Final Cuts either. I need the old complicated version.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Only way I know how to do it. All right, so Valentine's Day is coming up.
It is? Oh, no.
And I know you guys are getting your fucking wine bottles ready, your white Xanax. Girl rosé, your Bridget Jones's Diary.
You're texting your weed dealer going, I need green and Xanax.
Get a fucking hold of yourself, okay? Just that's all I'm, you know, every Valentine's Day, we like to give this message. No one likes a sad bitch on Valentine's Day.
Likes a sad bitch.
Yeah, just it's fine to, you know, feel bad or whatever. But on this day in particular, I would just ask that you just keep it together.
You masturbate furiously, girl or boy. Love yourself. Men are not encouraged to love themselves enough. Fucking love yourself. Love your dick. Jizz all over your coffee table and then clean it up. But if you have roommates, don't do that. But like, just come on.
Valentine's Day. Love yourself. Is the only day of the year where I am truly.
I love it.
Embarrassed to be a human because of the way people fucking act.
Oh.
I am like,
what's
number
an example
one,
of like the worst?
Just
thing?
The things I see on social media, everyone being sad.
I'm a sad bitch.
And crying.
Don't be a sad bitch, be a bad
selfies
bitch.
Selfies of yourself eating ice cream. Get it together. What
ice
are you doing?
Ice cream's great. You don't need to fucking take a picture of it. Just enjoy it and then masturbate.
You can do all these things. And also, just so you know, every time I'm in a relationship, it's always a worse Valentine's Day because you set very high expectations and they're never met because I'm a person with impossible standards.
Also, I hate to break it to you guys, a little spoiler alert, but Valentine's Day was barely created for like card companies to be like, I always sell cards on February 14th. And then everybody just kind of fucking fell for it. And now everyone who's single feels like a fucking loser when they're alone on Valentine's Day. And it's like, you don't gots to do that. Go out with your friends or spend time with yourself.
Well, also, if it's all about show, if you're like still in school, you can send your, you know, those things that they bring to your homeroom, like some club will be like selling little roses. Yeah. Send them to yourself. No one's checking. Make up a name.
You should buy Valentine's Day gifts. Take a picture of them and be like, oh my God, I love my boyfriend. And then just like, don't say anything. Like,
right.
Your best friend will be like, wait, what? And like, what?
My friend Robin and I in high school, every Valentine's Day would buy each other extravagant gifts, give each other's locker combos, stuff the presents in the locker. And then so when we would be like, oh man, what secret admirer left me this? Like we created this hilarious show because it's all about presentation, guys. And if you haven't learned that, it's
I was
going to
say love.
No.
But it's self-love, friend love.
It's about smoke and mirrors. It's about making people think that you're more loved than you are.
It's about curating your life so it's better than everyone
and
thinks.
And that creates... I was Instagram before Instagram was even Instagram, okay?
That should be the name of your special.
I was fucking...
This Barry describes you a lot in a great way.
I was fucking changing... making people think that I was having secret admirers. I've never once had a secret admirer.
Oh, me either, though.
I mean, I've had lots of stalkers if we're going to...
I haven't had one of those.
That.
But I guess it was good.
But you're too welcoming.
I know.
You can only have
a stalker.
Stalkers
are turned off because I don't hate them enough.
You can only have a stalker if you don't want people liking you.
Oh,
like if you,
that makes me feel better.
So you're too welcoming to have a stalker.
Oh, damn.
Because you would just be like, oh, this is a new friend.
Hashtag blessed. That's true. How are you, my friend? He's like, oh, God damn it. I was hoping this bitch would hate me.
Speaking of holidays, someone has a birthday coming up.
Oh, it's my 29th birthday on February 19th.
Ugh, 1988. Worst one, I gotta
say. Well, 29? Oh, I'm excited.
Okay.
Oh, I'm having a party the day before, right?
All right.
You're coming, right?
Yeah, it's in my calendar.
You don't come. Okay.
I turned down a spot, Christina.
Whoa.
I know.
Wow.
Look at me.
That's
I'm a hero.
That's my present. Thank you. You don't have to give me anything. That's an honor.
No, I mean, I already know what I'm getting you, but yeah.
You know, and I was kind of planning on asking like, hey, can you donate? Because sometimes on our birthdays, like people send us like gift cards, like for Chipotle or Visa gift. And that's really nice. But this year I was wondering if you could donate to and I think I'll have the link up on the description of this podcast, like on Friday when it comes out. If I don't, I'll put it up as soon as and I'll tweet it. But I have a very dear family friend and his name is Fred and I love him very much. And he has leukemia and he is a karate champion. He's the funnest person I've ever met in my life. He's 65. He's so cool. And he is the happiest, wonderful person. And I'm really bummed about this news. The cure, it's a cure thing that can, the odds of him being cured of it are high, which is super exciting. But he was telling me how he has to take, the pills are like $20 a pill that he has to take. And it's, he has to take 20 pills a fucking, or 10 pills a day. And his medical expenses, he has insurance and it covers half, but he still, he has upwards of like $3,500 a month out of pocket that he has to spend to fucking get better. And it's really putting a financial burden on him. So if you have the ability to donate $1, $5, $100,000, well, you should invest that. But, yeah, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind donating to my friend Fred's GoFundMe to help go towards his paying for his leukemia treatment. I think that would make me happy. And if you can't donate or you don't, if you're like, fuck you, no, that's fine. But if you can, I would really appreciate it. Happy birthday to me. 29 rules. Hopefully. I'm really making a prediction.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just like there, you know,
I like getting older though.
No, I do too, but 30 is the gold mine that you're going to hit. Like, yeah. 29 is just like, I should just be 30.
Well, yeah, that's true. But for the party, because it's a one day a year I get drunk, like wasted. So I'm super excited about that. But right. I'm going to like tit it up.
Yeah.
Titty's going to be out. Well, because I rented a fancy ass venue.
Okay.
And a hip hop DJ.
So you promised this before, but I'm really going to hold you to it this time.
Yeah, it's probably like, ooh, look, a little bit of my left. You can see the freckle.
We don't want like a Tara Reid or anything. We don't want like a full boob.
Why not, though?
Well, although I would appreciate very much if you did a little Kim. Just
oh, shit.
One in, one out.
Yo, that's a bold move.
It is a bold move.
We'll see.
That's one way to make 29 a little interesting.
Challenge accepted.
If you show up in that. Oh, I mean, I bet they
it would be, I'm stubborn and it would be worth it for just that. Just
you can
for,
just get like a, you could probably just get like the Lil' Kim outfit. Like, I'm sure someone's made it on Etsy.
Yeah, but like, then I'm gonna be assimilating. I'll just get my own outfit. I'll just make one that's got like weed leaves.
I don't
think
you mean appropriating?
Or
appropriating black culture?
That is the word I was looking for.
But is Lil' Kim now appropriating white culture? But then would you be appropriating?
Oh my God, the Matrix is real.
A black woman appropriating white culture.
White culture. So it's fine. That
the real pickle that we're in.
You know what? I might come with a pasty.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Or two, but that's too burlesque.
And you know what? Nah, no one needs that.
Well, that's just weird anyway.
Yeah. One titty out. All right.
That
one titty like, out. Who are you trying to?
One titty out is like fashion experiment. Yeah. Two titties out is like someone didn't get enough attention at the trial. Like,
what ladder are you trying to climb?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/guys. Guys, the weather's getting warmer. It's time to say goodbye to your jackets and all your sweaters, and you got to refresh your wardrobe. Well, luckily, I found Quince, and now you have too, because you're listening to this. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you go to their website, the amount of categories, they have travel, lookbooks, men, women, home, babies, and kids. Their stuff is so cute. So I own a couple items from Quince, and one of them is the Italian leather hand-woven crossbody purse in green, emerald, and I get compliments on it all the time. It's a small purse, which I really love because then I don't put as many things in it. Guys, Quince is amazing. They have very luxury items for very cheap prices. Get warm weather ready, baby, with Quince. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/GWF.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right. So speaking of race matters, we're so excited to have this guest on, recommended by the one and only Yo Mike Brown.
Yo Mike Brown!
My source for all black needs.
Mike is the fucking shit.
I'm very open.
Mike has a lot of patience with us white girls.
I was like, Mike, just fucking, how do I be less ignorant?
Yeah.
And he said, I have some sources for you. And one of the sources, so happy to meet this woman. And I actually might start listening to a podcast. Really excited
about
that.
Which is a big deal.
It's a big step.
That's like almost as big as you not taking a spot.
Right. I mean, this is just, I'm just historical. She's a writer. She's a pop culture commentator. And she's co-host of the very popular podcast, The Read. Please give a warm welcome to our guest, Crystal.
Tell me if you want to get it down so fine. Tell me if you see it in your mind sometimes. It's just, it's what I'm thinking. It's what I'm dreaming of. My little feeling. I'm better dreaming than this. Tell me if you fantasize the day and night. Tell me if you need a body to hold tight. Because it's what I'm thinking. It's what I'm dreaming of. My little feeling. I'm better dreaming than
get so nervous to do this podcast, and I don't know why. It's like, it makes me question why it was so easy for us to do it.
I know. I'm like, is there a problem?
Maybe we should stop talking. But you're a comedian, but do you do stand up as well?
Well, or? I definitely don't call myself a comedian because that is like, I honestly, the that word does. Is so scary. I know. I think BuzzFeed did that, and I was like, wait a minute.
Who fuck, told BuzzFeed, y'all? What the fuck?
Like, oh no, that word is like terrifying to me. But I've been invited to do stand up a few times, and I'm always like, I can't.
Really?
I would get up there. My nerves are so bad.
I mean, so many times I've done stand up. Right before going on stage, I'm like, I'm gonna shit my pants.
Yeah,
that would
be me. I went through UCB. I went like UCB 101.
Oh, okay, me too. Yeah.
Yeah, and that final show that
sure.
I did the same shit bricks that whole day. I didn't even tell anybody. I told no friends. No one. I didn't
your
tell anybody.
Was like, invite all your friends. Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
No one. It was like 3 months before I told anybody that I even went.
Those used to make me really nervous too. More nervous than stand up. Cause I guess stand up, like you're only relying on yourself, and I trust me, but I don't trust the other people.
I know, me too.
In the group. I'm like, I know what I'm doing, but I don't know what you're going to do.
Especially the entry level where anybody can just come in and be a part of
any
it.
Any motherfucker off the street who's got $400.
Like, we are in New York City because...
Yeah, it's like a scene starts and someone's just humping your leg and you're like, "This, there's no way out of this. I can't yes and this.
I talk too much, so I like take over. I'm like, "God damn it." And in the middle, I realize that I'm like, "I'm just going to go sit over here."
Yeah, that's why the best groups are always people who have known each other forever and they have like all that great chemistry and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just so awkward to try to get the timing and everything right in improv with people you don't know. So I didn't want anyone I knew seeing me try to
How
do that.
How did it go?
Well, I thought it was awful, but I tend to think everything is like not great. So
Are you hard on you're very I'm hard very on yourself?
I'm extremely self-critical, yes.
Have you always been?
I think so. Yeah. Like do you from think, a young age.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm trying to get better. But I asked, I'm like, is it the way I was raised? And my parents were like, you were always, I was always like, calm down, Christina. And you're like, no, I need to do better. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of that. And then, you know, I like to claim it on being a Virgo also because Beyonce is a Virgo and she's very self-critical and that's why she's so great.
She's the best human. She's my Jesus.
I know. I was like, you guys are going to bond over Beyonce hardcore.
She's honestly everything.
She's the best person to ever grace this planet.
I don't disagree with you.
And every time I've seen her in concert, the first 15 minutes are me crying. I'm like, she's right there. She's perfect right there. And then the twins thing, I was like,
oh God.
Calling people.
It saved my life.
I'll never forget where I was when I found out Beyonce was pregnant with twins. No,
that Instagram post changed my life. I have been depressed since Donald Trump was inaugurated. Yeah. Like, could barely leave the apartment. And that news, honestly, it turned my whole life around.
You.
I feel so much better now. So yeah.
The world just, will get two
yes,
more
exactly. Just
people
knowing
from Beyonce.
There restored hope in me that had died. So I'm not even exaggerating.
Steven,
I wish I was lying.
My boyfriend used to work at Def Jam for Jay-Z. And he recently was digging up a hard drive. And he was like, oh, come find look at these pictures I found that he took, and it was like of Jay-Z, and I think one of them had Beyonce in it. I was like, you were in the same room as Beyonce? Oh my God. I passed her in the hallway at SNL once when Jay-Z was musical guest and I was interning there, and I had a panic attack and I called my mom. She's like, I don't know. I don't even know who she is. I'm like,
it's okay. You don't get it.
I was on the carpet at the VMAs last year when she came, when she showed up with Blue Ivy. Yes.
Oh my God.
And someone came and got me and was like, you need to stand right here and don't move.
Oh my God.
I know. And I had my phone out. And so I taped her. She was like literally 7 inches in front of me. And I just taped her walking past me. It was amazing.
What do you love the most about Beyonce? I know.
What a question. I did not come prepared for this.
Just go with what you feel in your heart.
I think it's that despite the incredible fame, all of the success, the amazing talent, she still seems to be just like such a, at the core, a woman who cares about, you know, being a strong woman, being a great mother, doing things that she cares about, making art that she feels is important and expresses something important to the world, and embracing her identity as like a full Black woman.
Yeah.
And I feel like she does that more and more. You can really
every
see the
album,
difference in
you're
her
like,
music. Right.
Can't top this. And then, God.
Especially when she fired her dad as her manager and did 4 and then Self-Titled came out. And that, honestly, that just cemented her legendary status, that album.
The way she's graceful in the public eye.
Right.
I want to be like that one day. Holy shit. I've never seen a woman or man so fucking graceful about how they could just conduct themselves and how they speak towards important issues. And she never gets paralyzed by her anger and, or you know what I mean, and her frustration. And I'm like, you are Jesus.
Especially in, considering all the shit people say about her and her kids, like
she
the fact that she
everything.
Is nice to people.
Yeah.
Like, she has every right to be such a bitch.
Yeah.
She just isn't.
And her smile is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
I love her. Yes, honestly.
Oh my God.
Everything about her is perfect.
Well, we were talking before you got here because I was like, she loves Beyonce. He's like, oh, okay. I want to talk about Beyonce, please.
But, and she just came up naturally in conversation.
I know. That was within the first like 2 minutes. But, you know,
I could feel the love that you have for Beyonce. Yeah. So
I definitely feel closer to you now. Like, I feel like you get me.
Yeah.
She has this, she calls it Black Girl Magic.
I think Beyonce has that. And I think it's interesting, like, because we're talking about, one of the things we want to talk about is white feminism. And at Beyonce concerts, like the lyrics in some of her latest album are not things that white girls should be just be like singing along to.
And like my Negro nose and Jackson 5 nostrils.
Exactly what I said. Because I was at the concert and these white girls to my right were like, and I'm like, yeah, that's not. He shouldn't be. It's just the respect that the respect that I think a white woman should have in that environment should be. Yeah, just don't say that part. Yeah. That's not for you. It's not for you.
But Beyonce concerts. I saw Formation 4 times. And
wow.
And I definitely.
Did you see the one in Jersey?
I did.
Kendrick
the
was
last
there?
One. Yes, I did. Crazy. Yes, I fucking did. Serena Williams came.
Oh
out.
My God.
Oh my God.
Yes. I was supposed to go, and then I had a falling out with the girl I was supposed to go with, I couldn't talk to her. I couldn't.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And then when I found out fucking Kendrick was there, I was like,
oh yeah, everybody, girl, you missed it.
I had
sorry.
A panic attack.
Not even to rub it in, but yeah.
No, I know. I saw all the photos. But
at that show, like some drunk white girls were like being real extra and like doing the thing that white girls do when they
do it
see
at
a black
shows.
Girl that they think are like friends with.
Not
like,
that part, but yeah. But the
no,
other
but they
part.
Take on a real like home girl type attitude.
Yeah.
And like, oh, hey girl. Yeah, Beyonce, right? Yes.
Yeah. And it's like, cut that
information.
Shit.
Like, oh girl, just don't.
Just
Beyonce's powerful, but she has white. An undone history.
Yeah. Yeah. You can be white there.
Just
but
be white.
Yes. But also like realize like some of those lyrics, they're just not for
right,
you. And
right.
That's okay. Because her Black Girl Magic is the most magnificent thing I've ever. It's just, it's amazing.
This is a genuine
it's
love you have
fucking,
for Beyonce.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
Holy shit.
It's real.
It's so real. But I've always wanted to talk to a black woman who's a big fan of hers about that I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's the way it should go. But I wanted to ask.
Well, yeah. I mean, when it comes to white people in concerts, it's kind of like, you know, you go in with a certain level of, okay, what can I tolerate out of y'all at this show?
You already go into it with, oh, right, I better not like, lose my shit on some white bitches.
Especially if I get recognized, then it's like, I want to be extremely careful about it because I don't want the people to then go back and be like, oh my gosh, you're such a bitch.
She hates white people.
Right, which, all I mean, right. I get that all the time anyway. But yeah, I don't say the N-word like ever under any circumstances, you know, be careful about anything that's obviously racial, like especially the lyrics and Formation, like just be careful about what you say. But for the most part, the bar is set really low for white people in like, in
I
like
know,
a
and that's
musical
why they fuck up a lot.
because then I'm not going to be able to relax and enjoy myself because I'm going to be worried about all the like microaggressions going on around me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want
to
have fun. It's fucking Beyonce. Like,
and one of the other things I love about a Beyonce concert, everyone is so fucking happy. Like I went to her arena tour and everyone was just like, we were bumping in like, oh, sorry. No, it's okay. I'm sorry. Like everyone's just so fucking happy.
People who are normally like assholes to each other, especially, did you take the train over? Oh no, I'm so sorry. You just said you didn't make it. I am so sorry that I brought that
to
up.
The just one trying to rub it in. But,
I took the train back from the last one I went to. But DJ Khaled was there. Remy Ma was there. That was cool. That was cool set. That was
the one in Queens.
I didn't
even
know.
On the train going out there was like people were just in a happy mood, like strangers talking to each other, things that would never happen.
And that's the power of fucking that's the power of Beyonce.
It is.
Well, I feel like Beyonce has done more for like race relations within women than anything that has happened in the past like decades. what is it about her?
Woo. Well, I think
she's Jesus.
I don't know. I feel like Beyonce would specify that she is not Jesus. Like,
yeah. I mean, I guess if Beyonce says she's Jesus, it's weird. But if I say it,
well, as a Christian, she would probably be like,
but like Jesus is
like,
Jesus.
Like I really don't. The Illuminati rumors. I'm like over it. I think it's the fact that she only recently got political. Beyonce was able to build a fan base. And she's been around like for these white girls who are my age, she's been around since we were in like middle school, high school.
Destiny
so
Chow,
of course.
Yes.
You have been drunk singing Beyonce at karaoke for a long time, girl. You love Beyonce. You
so
know,
much.
Like she's been a part of your celebrations, going out to the club, all kinds of stuff. So now that she's like in your heart, kind of like how NSYNC would have been if they never broke up or something that. It's like even though she's coming out with new music, it's still stuff you can identify with, and she's talking about things that you've never really heard anybody talk about before or never allowed a black woman to say to you before for whatever reason. And maybe in some cases, like especially when you watch the Formation video as opposed to listening to the lyrics, maybe it makes you think about things that you would not have considered before. So I think it's the fact that people criticize her for only recently becoming political, but I don't think she would have had the impact if she was not already this major crossover star. Like,
yeah.
When it comes to getting through to people with privilege, unfortunately, like, they tend to only listen to one another.
And yeah, the second something makes them feel weird.
There's a select few that they allow to get that close.
Right. Well, I mean, especially, I think Lady Gaga is also someone who's always political, and it's affected her career negatively almost. Like, I feel like
because she always,
it has become less popular. She also did a lot at once, and I think it was maybe too much.
Yeah. The meat dress.
Yeah, because where do you go from a meat dress?
I know.
Only down.
She came out. But that's like, why that's amazing. Like,
yeah, and Perez Hilton, I mean, just was pushing her. I mean, that's where I learned about her, because PerezHilton.com was like the source for all your news information, politics, entertainment. And he pushed her so hard, and then she kind of rose to the top really fast and then popped. And everyone was really pissed that she were, well, I'm sorry, half of people were really pissed that she wasn't political at the Super Bowl. And I was like, well, I mean,
she kind of, I mean, was when she,
I thought the beginning was like land this was nice. Saying like, hey, let's all get together, but she didn't really like, I mean, I
didn't see
anyway,
it,
so it didn't matter, but like, you know, she's Lady Gaga still sometimes wants to just have a good time, and then everyone just called her fat anyway, and I was
what?
Yeah,
fat?
No, I know,
I know.
Well, because she didn't have like a six pack, and she was dared to wear a midriff bearing shirt.
Oh,
yeah,
God. No. It's so annoying.
No,
so
it's
fucking
beyond.
Especially like when I was, I did an entire season of Uncommon Sense on MTV2 last year. And the comments that people make, if you happen to gain or lose, it could be 5 or 10 pounds. But like the obsession people have with what you look like is like, I'm thinking like, I don't even think about my body as much as you do. Like, why are you this obsessed? So I didn't even know people were criticizing Lady Gaga for that.
Oh, it's so insane. It was a whole thing. And it's so sick, because I was like, wow, I've been in the entertainment business too long, because when I saw her wearing that and when she bent over, like a little tiny piece of skin went over, and I was like,
how dare she?
We're going to hear about
really?
That. Like, I knew, I thought she looked amazing. And even if, like, every time someone comes out and they're not like ripped so that it looks like you have sprayed on your body,
right?
People have something to say, because you know Britney Spears, people always have something to say about her. I'm like, guys, this is why everyone has an eating disorder. Like, what are you doing?
Well, people are just weirdly obsessed with like the absolute wrong things. I've wanted before the show, I was like, oh God, I hope Lady Gaga is going to be like overtly political during this performance. Mm-hmm. And when it started off with "This Land Is Your Land," I was like, who is this for? Like, are you singing this to like the flyover states? Like,
it was a wink, wink. It could be for anyone.
Right.
Everyone like, thought it was for like, there, so.
Right. Like, are you talking to all the queer kids, all the Muslim kids?
Well, I was going to say, I thought it was for the Muslim band, but again, I have no idea. I don't. Did she comment on it?
No, I mean, I think it was a perfect choice because, you know, the main audience or a big portion of the audience for the NFL are, you know, not maybe people that we agree with politically. So I think, you know, Lady Gaga is powerful. Is she more powerful than the NFL and the Super Bowl? No, I don't think she is.
No, not even. No, of course not more powerful than Beyonce. But Beyonce being a black woman was going to make a bigger statement just off top.
Yeah.
Than Lady Gaga would have done. Yeah. I thought she deliberately did Born This Way. I thought that was like a very deliberate snub to President Trump and all the shit that he's been saying and these executive orders he's been signing. So although, you know, she didn't just come right out and be like, impeach Trump, burn this motherfucker down. Right. You know, like I would have wanted her to maybe. I understand why she did not.
I know.
And
like,
I don't fault her for that. Right.
Yeah.
I don't fault her for not wanting to be like dragged by all these anonymous trolls on the internet and have people say terrible things and all this other stuff. Like, put in your message subtly. So I fucked that up.
Yeah.
Subtly, you know,
put it in and then go on about, like, I wasn't mad at it.
Yeah. No, so. I mean, I'm like, everyone's never going to be happy.
Right. No, are not going to please everybody.
Yeah. No. So she just, I'm like, just do what you want to do. It, you know, it's a big thing. Even though you're Lady Gaga, doing the Super Bowl halftime show, even for Lady Gaga, is still a huge deal.
It's a major honor.
Like, really cool.
That's the thing. Like when Beyonce did her Super Bowl performance, that's why one of the things that, in one of the many millions of moments where she's just shown grace is the shit she got for that. I'm like, she fucking has done her whole fucking career and she wasn't saying shit.
That's right.
And that had to be hard. I feel like that, I would think that would have to be hard. And then the statement, I loved that performance. And then everyone, it's like people get so fucking uncomfortable. But at the same time, like, look at all the black people getting murdered in this country by police officers. how the fuck, like, it just blows my mind that someone could be turned off by that.
Yeah. Well, people don't really want to confront like what is right in front of their faces. They would rather believe that, you know, every single unarmed Black person did something to deserve being shot and killed. Like, they don't want to think about it. So they don't. So when somebody like Beyonce forces that in their faces, you know, that makes them very uncomfortable. I felt like Lady Gaga did a great job. She sounded amazing. I think she's incredibly talented. I'm not opposed to like new Lady Gaga music. She lost me somewhere along the way with the last album or so.
The Joanne shit?
I don't, I don't recall.
She got a
Joanne.
Little country.
I just, you know, and I like country music. I'm from Oklahoma. I appreciate country music.
What's Oklahoma like?
Before we get too deep into like stuff that's happening now, tell us about you, like where you're from, Oklahoma.
Yes. So yeah, I grew up in Oklahoma and moved here 4.5 years ago.
Oh, so you're fairly new to the
city. Yeah, I'm pretty new to New York.
From Oklahoma?
From Oklahoma. Oklahoma City.
What was the move? Why did you decide?
Believe it or not, it was Beyonce.
Really?
Shut the fuck.
I came to Jersey for her show at Revel like 3 or 4 months after she had Blue Ivy.
Yeah.
And I had been planning to move to Atlanta. That's a pretty lateral move when you're from Oklahoma. But during the show and like the entire time I was in New York and Jersey and at the show, I just felt like Beyonce was telling me to move to New York instead. And so like 3 weeks before I was supposed to move, I canceled everything in Atlanta and packed up and moved to New York instead.
Wow. That is a Beyonce inspired story.
I know.
We know you're not. I might have thought you were fucking around if we hadn't started the way we did, but I know you're not fucking around.
Well, that's why I've said in the past, like the Jesus thing, like it's haha funny, LOL, she's not Jesus. But like the way she inspires people to be better and the way she owns her sexuality, and it makes me feel sexier, like watching just a fucking taking control of, oh God, damn
feel it. That's right.
Yeah.
Beyonce is everything.
She's everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I moved here because Beyonce and started working temp jobs, you know, just to get by and the city really kicked my ass. You know, it was like, probably everybody's story when you first move is like, how much worse could life get? Oh, let me show you.
But so we're in, what was life like in Oklahoma though? I'm thinking just like you're the only Black person in Oklahoma. Okay. I'm sure that's not true.
Not entirely, but
there's like another one. Yeah.
So Oklahoma is, I'm not sure if you know geographically, because most people honestly, when I talk
about it, I know where
it
is and I know what it's shaped like.
Okay. So it's directly north of Texas.
The one right on top of Texas.
It's extremely conservative. Mm-hmm. I say this all the time, but it's the only state that had every county go to John McCain in that election against Barack Obama. Oh, like it is that bad.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's an active KKK presence and everything is really Republican. And
have you seen the KKK?
Yeah.
Do what? Definitely. What are they doing?
I mean,
I know they exist, but
they're not always in their robes. But
right.
They definitely had like.
The KKK's around, you don't even fucking know.
Right.
They ain't wearing the robes.
Right. But
that's
worked with a lot of them.
If they're always wearing your robes, at least you know, like, okay, I'm gonna walk on this side of the street. Yeah. But
I worked in a lot of all white places where white people either kind of pretended that I wasn't really there, almost like they kind of couldn't see me. Like, you know, kind of like, oh, we can speak freely around her because she's not even really present. But I heard a lot of overtly racist things.
Like what? If you don't mind repeating them, because I think it's important for people to know.
Probably the one that made me feel like, okay, I have to get out, you know, at some point was shortly after President Obama was elected. And I was at this lunch meeting with a bunch of people who worked in the oil and gas industry. So very wealthy, very
like
invested
story.
In. Yes.
Yeah,
so,
shit.
Just to give you some context.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were saying how, you know, they wanted to hurry up and do whatever needed to be done, press members of the state legislator or whatever to get certain laws passed as far as oil production was concerned, because now that they've put that nigger in office, who knows what he'll do. And you know, President Obama is very much against, you know, like fracking and stuff that the oil industry depends on in order to keep themselves afloat. And he was against the Dakota Access Pipeline and all that, things that they really wanted to be in place. And they knew when he was elected that he was going to try to limit, you know, basically their bottom line. He was going to take away their money. And so they were upset about it. And I heard things like that repeatedly while I was there. Yeah.
Damn.
People, I mean, it's kind of like, you it's not like everyday overt racism, like people are just terrible to you. It's like most of the time,
microaggression things you're talking about,
right? Like, there's a lot of that.
And that, most of the time, people are like, another black person seems like over the top.
Well, this is a situation where these people had total, like, I was at a lunch meeting and I was not in any way their equal. Like, right, they could have immediately fired me for any reason or no reason, and I would have had absolutely no recourse. And so they could say whatever they wanted to. And that was why eventually I started, super deep story. Eventually I started bringing a tape recorder to work.
Yeah.
And in every private meeting I had it on, and I ended up having to use those tapes.
Wow.
To defend myself.
Yeah.
Because they would say the worst things in front of me. So I knew when I wasn't around, they were doing much worse.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, I had to. Right. So
what context
growing up
did you
in
use
that,
it when you were quitting?
Well,
or
that I
were...
should not talk about.
Okay.
But
no,
yeah, after I left, I ended up having to use a lot of that evidence that I gathered in order to clear some things up. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So it was right. So growing up in that sort of environment, or not growing up in that, because I grew up in a very black household, black family, you know, like we're certainly not the only black people in Tulsa or anything like that.
So, but why, were there, your parents born in Tulsa or?
No, but they're born in Louisiana and Texas, which is basically different flavors of the same thing.
Okay.
But, I was actually born in Louisiana and then we moved to Oklahoma, but we stayed in that general region almost all my life, actually until I left. So they're all still there. But it was like the racism was the sort of thing where your parents warned you about it before you could really start to notice it.
What did they say?
Well, like I don't know if you watch Scandal, but there was
I do.
There was a scene where Olivia's dad Eli is telling her, "You like, what have I always told you? You have to be twice as good to get half as far, and you have to be totally on your P's and Q's." And I thought, "Holy shit!" You know, my dad started giving me that talk when I was in like the sixth grade. Like, these people do not want you to succeed. The fact that you're, you know, in the same classes as their children, they don't like it. Like, they see you as either the exception or you shouldn't be here at all. And so you're going to have to prove yourself.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's your, you're already up against so many things and you're a kid.
Well, when you tell people you're from Oklahoma, they're like, okay. Like, no one asks, why did you move? They're always like, oh, I get it. Yeah. It was in like, now that I'm an adult and I look back at it, I'm like, wow, that was really shitty. But as a kid, I felt like my life was pretty good. You know, I had a pretty happy childhood. There wasn't a lot of really bad, like, racist moments in my life. But when they happened, they definitely made a big impact. So.
And how was your family unit? Like, did they give you, they gave you talks about warning against racism? Did they give you like sex talks? Something that was openly discussed? In my family, it was not.
Yeah, no. So my parents are very conservative as far as sex is concerned. And so it was basically like when I was maybe 13 or 14, they sat me down. They were like, listen, so this is what's going on with your body. And I'm sure you already have an idea about sex, but this is, you know, they were uncomfortable. They did not want to use.
Yeah.
Was that like before or after you got your first period?
It was slightly before, like maybe a couple of months before.
Okay.
And so they were like, this is what's going on with the little boys in your class and the little girls. And
that's
if you have a baby,
something.
You are going to be out of fucking luck. So don't do it. That was pretty much.
Did they tell you like how a baby is made?
I mean, well, I already knew that because my mom had all these Christian pamphlets and stuff that she would give me.
Were they accurate?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. What does a Christian pamphlet say about
God,
sex?
Do you know who Dr. James Dobson is?
No.
It sounds familiar, but.
So he's not worth the Google, but basically his fake church, you know, kind of like life organization center people. I don't know what, but they put out these like informational books and pamphlets and stuff like how to talk to your child about growing up and that sort of
that
thing. Right.
Gives me the heebie jeebies.
So it's like menstruation from a Christian point of view. And like,
I really need to get my hands on these.
That sounds worse than the worst period I've ever gotten.
It's kind of like, you know, once Eve bit the fruit, she was
bleeding
forever, cursed or whatever. And you young ladies will get this once a month. It's like,
oh, so it's a curse.
Well, so
that's,
it's not like
blood.
It's not like this is the story of why everything is wrong with you. It's kind of like this is mostly scientific, but then there's a heavy Christian slant to everything. Like, this is why it's very important that we not touch one another with these until we're married, like that sort of thing.
Wow.
Yeah. So I knew what was going on. I was reading a lot at that age.
That's good.
But when they actually sat down and had the conversation, it was even more awkward than I thought it would be. I knew it was coming. I knew eventually they were going to have to say something.
Yeah. My mom started and I was like, I already know about it.
I didn't know.
Right. I was like, I know a lot. I knew a lot about menstruation.
Emotionally, painfully awkward. Oh, God.
Yeah. But it was just, and then we had the health class at school. I don't know if you guys had but we had like a day where they separated the boys and girls.
Yep.
And we got like a little trial, a secret, and a couple of pads.
Yep. Oh, you got pads. I didn't get pads.
We got pads.
You got pads? Yeah. I mean, they were the biggest pads.
Oh, no, they were massive. They were massive.
I was like, I would be like higher on this couch if I was wearing one.
Seriously,
it'd be like a booster.
Everybody knows you're on your
period.
You could
have fallen from a roof and the pad would save
you. Like,
you
cannot wear leggings that day.
Yeah, it was like a booster seat at Applebee's.
It was those giant, thick industrial pads. And you see, like, the video or whatever. So I knew.
The birth video?
This is what's happening to your body and you'll start to grow breasts.
Yeah.
And like the period video.
And the teacher's usually just as nervous as the student and
they don't want to talk about this shit either with a bunch of 13-year-olds. You're like, well, now I don't want to be here even more.
Right.
What the fuck?
I'm like, productive? I really don't make enough for this shit.
Yeah.
A bunch of 12-year-olds about to ask me about their boners? No. Ugh.
Because it's always the PE teacher that has to teach health.
Yeah.
But like, you think you're going into PE? I'm like, ah, fucking play
kickball. It was like a special assembly.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, so awkward.
It was, yeah.
How were your first sexual experiences? Awkward? Were they comfortable?
Well, so I decided after, partly because of like the whole, if you have a baby, you are going to have to figure out your life on your own threat that they gave me. But then also because I was realizing that I wasn't straight, that I was also attracted to girls, and I was terrified to tell my parents about that because they were so religious.
Oh, yeah.
And then had that been addressed in your household? Anything about like if you're gay?
Kind of. So what happened that wasn't fun? I know. I feel like I'm doing the opposite of what this show is supposed to be. Like,
no.
I feel like I'm stressing everybody out.
No.
Whatever your experience is. If it was really stressful, so be it.
Well, it was like, so my senior year of high school, there was a rumor going around the school about me and another girl that we were gay. And it was true about me, but it wasn't true about her. And so in my yearbook, she wrote, oh, from one lesbian to another, it's been a crazy year.
Yeah,
own it. And so my parents read my yearbook and they were like, lesbian, what is this? They were like furious.
Shit.
And so I stormed out. I was all mad and like 17. And it was this whole big dramatic thing. And then we did not talk about it again for years. So
oh my God.
Yeah. We just did not address my sexuality at all for years.
And were you dating women during this time?
Yep. They just never met my parents.
Oh, okay.
I never told them anything about it.
Yeah, you kind of kept that area of your life away from them.
We lived in separate parts of the state anyway. They were 90 miles apart. We were 90 miles apart. So
that's good.
It was really easy for me to just not tell them about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's, it was like how it had to be.
Yeah. And have they ever, are they cool now?
Oh, now. Oh, God. Oh, my mother now. Ugh. She's so annoying.
She's too cool about it.
Yeah, no, she's annoying because after the Supreme Court was like, okay, you know, gay marriage, universal, I text her and she texts me back like, unbelievable, a great day for America. I'm so happy. And I'm like, when the fuck did you get like
someone did a 180.
Right. And then she's like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I've always only wanted you to be happy. I'm like, oh, girl, stop this. Stop it. That is not the case.
She probably realized, maybe she was embarrassed by being influenced over religion, and she realized like, you're my daughter. I love you. Whoever you
love,
you
love. Yeah. She's mellowed out a lot over the past 10 years or so. She's very cool. Like, my mother and I are super close. I
love
her,
hearing stories about that, about parents with, when their kid is bisexual, homosexual, whatever sexual orientation that's not straight, how they go that arc from going from like total non-acceptance to like embracing it.
Yeah.
It's so nice to hear.
Well, I think she realized like, cause at one point I told her like, you're either going to respect me or I'm just not going to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
So you decide.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to keep doing
this. That's awesome.
And I think sometimes people are like, okay with like, they're like, okay with the concept of like homosexuality as long as it's not like affecting them.
Right.
Too.
Right.
Yeah.
Is another thing that, and they're like, oh yeah, it's great. And then you're, but then if your own kid says it, they're like, oh, that's less great. And yeah. There's a certain fear too. Do you think that was involved at all? Like a fear that your life is going to be more difficult?
Maybe so, but I think it was mostly just an ignorance. Yeah. 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 Just no, my mother, I mean, my mother is highly educated. She has a master's degree. She's been working for 36 years in speech pathology. She's not, you know, she's not a dumb woman. Yeah. She was just bigoted and now she isn't. So
well, that's good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's like nice. It's nice.
Yeah. Maybe it's like, I'm like, there's a reason. Like you're gay to open up her mind.
Gay as hell, man.
No, now she's all open and accepting and you know, everything's love and kisses wonderful. And Starburst. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. How is dating in New York compared to dating in Oklahoma?
Can you believe dating in Oklahoma was much easier?
Really? I can actually.
Yeah, because in a city of like 1 million in the metro area of Oklahoma City, which is massive, there's like so few Black people relative to that population. And then within the population, like Black lesbians or women who date other women is like even smaller. So after a certain point, everybody I dated knew someone else that I used to date because it's like the community is maybe a few hundred people.
Yeah.
So
do you know, do you ever listen to Dan Savage's podcast?
Every now and then.
He said before, like straight people are always weird about like territorial about like, don't look at another guy or something. But he was like, gay people, we didn't, when I was growing up gay, we didn't have a choice. Like there were five gay people. Right. So like we all fucked each other. It was fine. Like, you know, exactly. Not at the same time or even at the same time, but it's like, you kind of lose that. Do you think that for you?
Definitely. When there are like three openly gay girls in the whole high school or whatever, you're going to end up dating each other. And the pool grows as you get older, or at least it did for me. And when I was living in Oklahoma City, it was like, I was dating fairly frequently just because I felt like I knew where to go find the people that I wanted to date and they were there. Whereas in New York, I got here and I'm like, there are so many fucking people. I don't even know where to begin. Right. Like, are there even lesbian bars? I was like, there are.
Oh, yeah.
Of
sadly,
course.
Well, right. But I like
Lower East Side is a bunch.
I was like, am I going to fit in a bar on the Lower East Side? Because usually when I go to the Lower East Side to go to a bar, I'm like, I feel like the fish out of water here. Like, I feel like I do not really belong.
Yeah.
But I think everyone feels like they don't belong. And it's just everyone like faking like they do belong. And that's
New York
of the
is
Lower
that
East
a lot.
Side.
Maybe so. I mean, it doesn't help that I don't really talk to people unless they talk to me first. So.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, Corinne's
it's really fun. I think it's great. It's really worked out for me.
Whenever like Corinne's around like a group, it used to be like, I would like group of friends and Corinne would meet them and then she'd leave and they'd be like, does Corinne not like me? I'm like, no, she just doesn't want to. Like,
I mean, I probably also don't like.
Yeah,
but.
And I knew that, but I was like, I'll save that. That's you can let them know.
I like to just go to bars and stand with the person that I came with and then just drink a more expensive drink, I guess. I'm not really sure what the point is.
That's just like the co-host on my show, Kid Fury. People are always like, does Kid Fury hate me? Did I do something? I'm like, no, he just doesn't speak, which is true. He doesn't. But then maybe 80% of the time, he also does not like you. So, yeah,
he's and very selective.
And that's fine.
Right, because it's still true that he just doesn't talk to anybody. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'm not really social, so it's kind of hard for me to like go out and meet people. And I don't like apps. I tried the app experience.
Feels weird.
But I was on Tinder for 2 days and never once swiped in whatever direction is yes.
Really?
No one. I'm like, and I don't feel like I have like high standards or anything like that, but it was just like.
Well, what type of women do you like?
I was gonna say, what are
so
you?
So that's the thing. I guess I came out again, or I just kind of like realized that my sexuality is not exclusively lesbian.
Okay.
But I'm like,
it's evolved.
So every time I try to explain this, people are like, you're so weird. And that's why I have to say, like, my sexual orientation is a little complex, I think, maybe to some people.
But that's good because
like,
one person's going to be like, that's me.
And yeah. Gonna feel... And there's going to be like one other person in the world who is like me. So I am attracted to like masculine presenting people in a very traditionally masculine sense.
Okay.
But the specific gender of those people is not super important. Like it doesn't have to be a cis man or a cis woman or anything like that. Like that's less important than what I feel is like the opposite of my presentation because I'm very attracted to masculinity in particular. So once I realized that, I started dating different people. I had been dating women exclusively for maybe 10, 11 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then I started dating a couple guys just casually, not really.
How is that? Because you had only dated women up until that point, right?
Right, right. How? So
that's a trend. That,
so, yeah, I'm curious about that. Like women, dude.
So men are like stupid, but not in like a men are dumb way, but in like a
simple,
literally do not use logic to formulate their arguments. And it's like, how can I talk to you? Like, I cannot have a reasonable, rational conversation with you because you do not operate from a place of logic. Like, all you're talking about is your fucking feelings. And I'm talking about like, what is real? Like, not to say your feelings shit, aren't important, right, but right. You have
What's
to be logical
example,
about
like a
them.
Topic you would.
So like, an ex-boyfriend of mine was upset that I was traveling to Washington, D.C. for a show. Because I have an ex in Washington, D.C.
Oh, my God.
That's possessive
as
fuck.
That's the most man thing I've ever heard. I'm like, do you know how big D.C. What the hell are you talking about?
And I'm like, are you seriously upset right now because I'm going to D.C. to do a show that I've been booked for? And then coming back, like, you're upset, though, because I'll be in D.C. and I have an ex who lives in D.C. Like, you're seriously, we're going to have to talk about your feelings behind this because they're irrational.
Well, you have no tolerance for jealousy, like irrational jealousy.
Right, exactly. Like, this is so stupid. Like, not to be mean, but like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but like, you either waste time beating around the bush to like get it out of him, or you're direct about it and you cut to the chase.
Like, would you rather me not work? Are you going to write me this check? I don't think so. Yeah. So like, you're going to have to get over this because it is completely, it's just dumb. This is dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that. So it was that sort of transition. I never really had to argue with women about things like that.
Yeah.
So like, as far as the interaction between the two of us, it was like very different. Like just coexisting.
Men operate so differently than women. And I know there's obviously so many types of men and so many types of women. There are men that are just very simple minded in a way that it seems kind of nice, but it can be infuriating of like, dude, deductive reasoning. But then, I mean, just as much as there's so many kinds of women. So, I do feel comfortable saying that generally very different from
each
other.
It's like, once you get them to start thinking about things, like maybe before you jump straight into your feelings about this, like your totally irrational feelings, maybe just think about why you feel that way.
Yeah.
Just please.
Take a sec.
And then sexually, what was it like going from a vagina to a penis?
Well, not that different since the technology exists for lesbians to do a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
So sure. I don't know if men think that like their organic penises are like some magical life changer, but frequently they are not. And like, I can get pretty much the same experience. I've had a couple of trans boyfriends who can outfuck you. Sorry if you... If you thought that was just like automatically not going to be the case.
Right.
It's not literally a magic stick. You have to know what you're doing with it.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
Huh.
The whole motion of the ocean versus the size of the wave. It's true.
Right.
But I didn't spend a lot of time dating cis straight men. It was like, this is frustrating. This is like trying to find one who isn't homophobic, isn't sexist, isn't like... Like, who checks off all my boxes is like,
but then still
impossible.
Presents as super masculine.
Well, not so the thing is, it doesn't have to be like presents as super masculine, but as a lesbian, I never dated other feminine lesbians. I was never attracted to other feminine presenting people. Mm-hmm. So even like mildly androgynous was like fine as far as like the scale of masculinity was concerned.
Okay.
But somebody who like spends hours on hair or does makeup.
Okay. Yeah.
Or
yeah.
heels. Yeah. I just was not. I couldn't.
There is something about an androgynous masculine presenting woman that is just, is very sexy.
I agree with you.
It's so.
That's so real.
It's like their stare and like you feel it. Like you're like, oh, hot. Like I've flirted with women like that at bars before. I'm like, what am I doing? Okay.
Like, this is, it's just, yeah, this is gross.
There's an attraction. Yeah. They're just, yeah, they're mysteriously. Well,
not
sexy.
Gross, but it just was, yeah. So, but feminine women, that's what I was referring to. Like that was never,
that's
it was just never
thing.
My thing. Right.
Yeah.
So then when I realized my sexuality really isn't exclusively lesbian, I kind of, it was like, okay, so then what, I spent a lot of time thinking about it. Like I've spent, from the time I moved to New York until maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I did not date. Or sorry, no, it was slightly longer than that. So I spent a couple of years not dating at all, just to try to figure out what I thought my sexuality was before I went back out there. Oh. Just because I felt like, you know, I need to figure out this about myself and I don't really want to take somebody else through the emotional roller coaster of like me figuring out my shit.
That's nice. That's very responsible of you.
I mean,
you've always, it seems like you, no, but you seem like you make these decisions that are, that you're setting healthy boundaries for yourself and you're like, this is the way it is. Like with your mom.
Oh,
like,
that's because I've had the shittiest relationships though. That's because I've been through.
Right. With women?
Yeah. Oh God. Oh,
I feel like
God.
A shitty relationship with a woman is so much more horrifying than a shitty relationship with a guy.
It got really bad. But when me and my first girlfriend broke up, because we were together for like 6.5 years.
Oh, wow.
With like very sporadic breaks. So around the time that we broke up, I thought she was cheating on me and I drove to her apartment 45 minutes away. I broke in. And she was not home like she said she would be. And I kept calling her cell phone.
Did you have a key?
No, I broke
in. Oh, so you did break up.
No, I have a key. Fuck that. I got into her apartment.
Okay.
And I kept calling her. I called her like maybe 70 times and she never answered the phone. And so I just proceeded to destroy everything in her house.
Wow. Holy shit.
Everything except the photo of her dead mother. I left that alone.
You're kind.
Whoa.
And everything else I destroyed. But after I...
How, like you hit it with a bat or what do you...
Well,
what
no,
talking
no,
about?
No.
You take it
was just,
to the couch?
It was just, it was that pure rage you feel.
Yeah.
When it's like...
That type of jealousy, the most angry I've ever acted out was when I found out my boyfriend was cheating on me and the girl came upstairs with me and we confronted him. Wow. and I pushed him against a wall and that wasn't
yeah,
good.
But, I was really, I
it
was
turned
really
into another person
because it was like, we were just on the phone and you're like, oh babe, I'm really tired. I'm going to go to bed. I'm like, it's 9:15. You're going to bed. I don't fucking think so.
Don't act. You think I'm a fucking idiot.
And then I call you back 30 minutes later and you don't answer the phone. And I'm calling you while I'm driving to your apartment. I called this person.
You knew.
So
you knew.
Many times. And damn. I knew you would not be home when I got there and you weren't. Yeah. And so I just fucked it all up. Just like throwing shit around, threw clothes out. She came, she probably came home. She called me back maybe an hour after I left. It was like almost sunrise. Jeez. I was there a couple hours. Yeah. I was there for a while.
Wow. I like that story because it's that I think a lot of people think only like straight women do crazy stuff to men. So it's nice that it was like a girl on girl crime.
Makes a person.
So after that relationship ended, because that was like, oh God, I'm so in love. I'll never be with anyone else. Like I was just like, I'm going to marry you, all this. After that relationship ended, I was like, no one can ever hurt me like this again. That is true.
And that's kind of nice because I've gone through, I think we've all gone through the same thing. And it's nice. It's like freeing in
yes,
a way.
It is.
But makes me sad because I'm like, I'll never be in that deep love again.
Well, you'll find it elsewhere. You'll find it because it's a different
not
point
with a person,
in your life.
Though.
But it won't be that. It's that not, first heartbreak
yeah,
is,
can't get yeah.
it changes you.
Yeah.
Like when you, like you did not realize mm-hmm. love could be that bad.
Well, it's 100%. Like when you learn the world isn't a good place.
Yeah.
You're like,
that
oh,
first heartbreak,
fuck.
Yeah. I went into a deep depression for like a year and a half after that relationship ended. So I spent a lot of time thinking about like what to do better in future relationships.
Yeah, that's why this podcast started.
I do have one question. What were her first words upon entering her apartment and contacting you?
Well, so I don't know what she thought once she walked in, but when she called me, she was like, babe. And I said, I don't want to hear it. And she said, I just want to say, thank you for not touching the picture of my mom.
Wow.
Wow.
I said, yeah, because you fucking know. When you walk in your house and everything's destroyed except the photo of your mother, you know what happened.
That's a statement.
You know what happened. Because, yep. I mean, this was back in the days when, like, DVD, having your own DVD player was like a
bougie,
thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, fuck this. Like, this is shattered. I'll fuck all your shit. I broke it all. So, but then she's like, oh, I have this explanation. I was over at my cousin's house and we were smoking weed and then I fell asleep. I'm like, fucking night.
No.
Do you think
the
I'm
fact
a
that she was
idiot?
This calm just, proves that she was doing something
exactly.
bad because if she was doing something
guilty.
Nice, I would have been like, you broke all my stuff and I was volunteering at a soup kitchen.
Yeah. She wasn't like, oh, babe, I can't believe you fucking did this, you fucking crazy bitch. She was like trying to explain herself. I'm like, you're full of shit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're full of shit.
I was feeding homeless disabled children.
No, fuck you weren't, you lying ass
bitch. Yeah.
I don't know where you were or who you were with, but you lied to me about it. So,
girls have women. Women are powerful beings. Mm. Women have this magicness to them just off the bat, I think. But the emotional venom that a woman has that mm-hmm. she could use is dark.
It's bad. I had to learn how to restrain it because there were a few times that I probably crossed the line with how awful. I guess technically,
I mean, we have
her
one
shit
on the
was
books.
Crossing the line.
Yeah,
I mean, I kind of feel like that wasn't justified, but I mostly feel like it was.
Did she ever like send you like an invoice?
Hell
for that?
No, hell no.
She was
begged
she was
for forgiveness.
Yeah, because she felt bad.
Hell
she never admitted
no.
it.
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, never. God damn it.
I mean, we broke up shortly after that, but she has my name tattooed. Well, she hasn't covered it up
no.
yet. She got a tattoo. I didn't want her to, but she got it anyway. And to like make me happy, she got my name tattooed within the tattoo. Like that was going to make me happy. And I was like, it doesn't. This is.
I mean, that's sign number one. Yeah.
And then, I mean, we broke up, so.
Jeez.
Damn.
But I'm sure she's married now with kids and all that, so.
Oh, you didn't follow up on Facebook or anything?
That's the fun of Facebook.
So I haven't checked. It's been a while. She hit me up like six or eight months ago. Okay. You know how people do when they're like, oh, wow, see, you're doing big things. Congrats. That sort of thing. Proud of you. She sent me one of those and I'm like, oh, thanks. And so I kind of clicked through to her profile, but not really. It looks like a marriage, maybe a long-term partnership, but she looks happy. So, you know, God bless. I don't hold any ill will towards any of my exes anymore.
Yeah.
But she knew she deserved, knew she had that coming. What? Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, I've done way worse. Yeah. Things I probably shouldn't say out loud.
Oh, I was like, what? My one friend.
Well, because that one's already, that's pretty
my
illegal.
My one friend, when we were in college together, she took a bat to her boyfriend's car because he was at his house with a girl. And her mom drove her down to the guy's house.
Nice.
And she's like, have at it. And she just fucking Carrie Underwood the shit out of that car. It was like a brand new car too. Oh.
We did that too in college. My friend Andrea, I hope she doesn't mind me saying that, but she was dating this guy and she had a similar situation where he like wasn't answering the phone or whatever. And she was like, I'm going down there. He lived with his mother. She's like, I'm going down there. I'm going to see what the fuck he's doing. We were like, well, bitch, let's ride out.
Yeah.
So the four of us.
I want to come.
Yeah.
So the four
of us get in the car and we ride out to his mother's house and stand. It's like 11:30 p.m. in some residential, like a fucking cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
And we are outside, music on, brights on, honking, calling, come the fuck outside, Brandon, or whatever his name was.
And the guy's mom was home?
Or? Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if his mother was home because she never came. After like 15 minutes, he finally came out and was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then we left shortly thereafter. But it was like,
was he
cheating? I'm sure he was, but maybe not that night.
Yeah.
I was just like, maybe we're a little
you
crazy.
You called me on the night I wasn't fucking somebody else.
Like, maybe we should chill out because we did a lot right now, you guys. Like,
yeah. Are you still to this day pro property damage?
No. I have too much to lose now. I can be sued now.
I know.
But back when I had nothing, I didn't give a fuck. What? I don't care. Fuck you. Yeah. How dare you hurt my feelings?
One of my best friends, my first boyfriend, she, you know me, we drove to his parents' doorstep and she just peed on his doorstep. And
nice.
That was it. But I felt good.
That is harmless.
And then his little sister was in the window. She peeked out of the curtains and I was like, oh, she was cool. Sorry.
Damn.
That was for your brother.
But that is pretty harmless, you know?
Yeah, just urinating.
Something that just makes you feel better.
Oh, with Chris. Oh, the guy that I slammed his, I like found out he was cheating. Yeah. He lived two floors above me in my apartment building. I don't know if I made this concoction out of old shit in my freezer that had been there for like 5 years people from my college kept moving in and out. And it was like salmon, ketchup, mayonnaise. There was dog shit. My friend Ashley went out and got dog shit. And I mixed it with eggs and I took his doormat and I put the mixture under his doormat and I pressed it down so it would harden and smell. And like, that wasn't mature, but it was fun.
But you know, I felt like if you hurt my feelings, I deserve to hurt yours.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And I can't cheat on you
and
back because you're not going to care. So I want to hurt you in another way.
Yeah.
So that's what
like
I did.
Like a financial way.
Or just a smelly way. I don't mind destroying your thing. Like maybe you can't watch DVDs anymore. I feel like that's a fair price to pay.
That's fair.
I mean, I used to feel that way. I'm an adult now.
Yeah.
No, I don't do those things anymore. Now I'll just break up with you.
I
have no patience.
Yeah.
I have none. I'm not going to debate. Like, if I catch you cheating, it is instantly over. I just don't have the time.
Yeah, that's
I'm not
good.
Doing it, so.
Well, the more years you live and the more you date, the more you know what you will tolerate and what you absolutely won't. And then you can kind of be more efficient with your time.
Yeah. And my problem is that I love being alone, too. I have no problem being by myself. Like,
same with Glenn,
I have weed and alcohol and like.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even need those things.
I
need myself and
TV.
Like,
bed. I have everything.
Yeah.
Or I could just stay in bed all day.
Sometimes I just stare at a wall for like a good hour. And it's nice because no one else is speaking.
Right. And it's just quiet.
It sounds so nice.
It does. I totally understand this. So,
yeah.
It takes a lot for me to want to disrupt like the natural peace that I have in my life. So,
yeah.
If you're like annoying, or stressing me out. I just don't want to be bothered.
You know, you ever read those stories about like the oldest woman ever just dies? What was the secret to her life?
She's always single.
I was single. Every fucking time. Woman yes. has lived to be over 100 yes. credits that.
They're like,
to
fuck being men.
No kids, no husband.
Yeah.
Every time.
I'm like, shit.
Every time.
Yep, and that's supposed to be like never an exception.
The dream or something.
Well, married women statistically do live shorter lives.
Shit,
than single
man.
Women. Yeah,
but then married
do.
Men live longer because they have someone taking that. Care right. of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas married women are stressed out because they're taking care of their kids plus their husband yeah. usually.
Yeah. The amount of stress, like I looked in the mirror, I have a boyfriend for like a year. I looked in the mirror tonight and I was like, you look your age for the first time in a long time. And it's not good. Like I have circles under my eyes because I can't argue about things anymore. I'm so tired.
I'm the queen of arguing.
What do you like arguing about?
Literally anything. As long as I know I'm right, I will argue with
you. Are you a good arguer? Are you like you open to yourself being wrong? Or?
I am, but that's why I selectively argue. I really try.
The ones that you're like, no.
I only argue when I am like 99% sure I'm correct.
Yeah.
Literally, any other time I'll be like, we can debate this. We can talk about it. I'm open to Googling.
Yeah.
If you've got some facts and figures, I would love to see them. But I will like outright argue anytime I know I'm right.
Do you ever get too heated in an argument about politics, about race shit, about gender?
I'm dating someone now and I think their number one complaint about my arguing technique is that I will keep going long after. Like, I should let it go.
So it'll be like 45 minutes of science. And another thing.
Because it's like, if you argue with me about something that like, I know I'm right about, like don't argue with me about what year or what day Beyonce's self-titled album comes out. Like, don't argue with me about that. I know the answer.
It's a
to
point.
That.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So if you argue with me about it, I will say no. And I know it because of this, and this. Like, and we can
I
go
can
back
prove
and forth
it to you.
We can go back and forth arguing about this thing as long as you want. Yeah. If I know I'm right.
Yeah, so you'll keep hanging in
and
there.
And it's really annoying. I go past the point that I would even want.
I know.
Even I'm like, okay, shut up. Like,
but
let it go.
But it's like, but dude, you're wrong. You're not correct. What the fuck are you? Why do you keep talking?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought.
No, I know. I'm a bitch. I know that I cannot. I'm not easy to date. Not at all.
But are you a bitch or are you just, you know what you want and you know yourself?
Oh,
and
I just figured those were like, that was like the definition.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
That's like a bad thing that like, that goes along with
I love
bitch
the word bad
society.
Bitch.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. As far as like a because lots of straight men, I'll get comments on Instagram, especially. And like, I'm every bit of like a heinous bitch, racist bitch, evil bitch, man hating bitch, like in that context. But I just kind of use it like, you can call me that. I really don't care, because if that's how you feel about women who say how they feel about things, then I'll be
that says
like,
more about you than it does about
me. Not to say that you're correct in that, but you saying that is not going to hurt me the way you want it to.
Yeah. You're not going to give them that satisfaction. Yeah. And it's a self-reflection of them being a piece of shit.
Well, I thought it was interesting because I was watching or listening on YouTube. So listening to you talk about, and it said you were a self-proclaimed cold-hearted bitch, but you do it for survival. And I was like, I hear that because it's, you know, it just like, especially with social media, at a certain point you get called something so many times. You're like, I'm just going to shut down or like create this wall around myself because like, I know how I feel. I don't need feedback from all these other fucking people.
Right.
Do you feel like becoming a cold-hearted bitch has affected you negatively in any way?
I think it's just made it harder to get to know like the real me. I feel like I've had to kind of separate.
For other people?
Right.
You put up
right.
the wall even with yourself, maybe?
Well, I'm just like really careful about who I let see like the completeness of me, like the dumb, silly things I do or like the embarrassing things.
Yeah.
Stuff that I would never want shared, you know, online, that sort of thing. Like,
intimate emotional things about your personality.
Right. I think it's made me harder to access in that way, but not impossible. It's just that my filter for like bullshit and what I'll tolerate and all that, like everything, I'm just on high alert all the time. When it comes to like letting people into
people
my
have
life
to
or like
earn
trusting someone. Right.
Knowing you. Like really, truly knowing you. But I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense. It makes sense as a survival mechanism, but also makes sense because, I mean, God, when you're vulnerable to everybody, it's like, why? It almost feels like such a waste of time when that person just proves to be a piece of shit or whatever. And you're like,
exactly.
Why did I do that?
Like you get tired of getting your feelings hurt after a while. You're like, I think I'm just going to be more discerning about who I give all these feelings to, since when my feelings are hurt, they really do get hurt. You know, it's not like I am, like, to my core, like some unfeeling bitch.
Right.
I certainly have feelings.
You have feelings.
And the people who really know me know that I am actually sensitive as shit, and like my feelings get hurt, which is why only a few people can hurt them.
Yeah.
So
that seems nice. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like ice bitch maybe to everybody else, but the ones who know me know better.
Yeah. I don't think you're a bitch at all. I think you're great.
I mean, well, we bonded over the queen.
Yeah.
It was love at first sight.
So we have to wrap up soon, but we don't want to let you get off without talking about everyone's favorite topic, white feminism.
Hey!
Yay, white girls!
I mean, I definitely listened
to some... What do you mean?
Interesting stuff. And I was like, oh, God.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Because like, when you came in and you said you had listened to some of our... I thought you were going to be like, I don't know if I can be on because of this white feminist podcast.
Oh, no.
And I was like, we certainly, you know, we are white and we are feminists, and there's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah,
right.
But, you know, we are actively with every episode trying to get in different perspectives, whether it be other races, other genders, other orientations, other members of the LGBTQ community. So we wanted to, like, what is it about white feminism? What is white feminism in your words?
Okay. So white feminism, as I understand it, is the idea that feminism is a great concept. Really great, you guys. Like, so great.
Like, really great.
I'm like, seriously,
it's like,
guys?
Awesome.
Women are like equal to men, you guys.
Yeah.
It's like awesome. But then the feminism does not extend past women who look like you or share your ideals or are different from you in any real way. Your feminism doesn't acknowledge what happens when women who aren't like you have to go through life.
Yeah.
So it's not like you don't think Black women deserve equal pay, you know, to white men. It's more like you don't understand the hardships that a Black woman has to face because she is Black, in addition to being a woman.
Yeah, there's two layers there.
Right, exactly.
Not just one.
There's extra steps.
Right, exactly. You see her as a woman, maybe.
Yeah.
But a different woman in a real way, and that is because of her Blackness. But they don't really want to acknowledge that, because on the other side of that thought is racism. And you're going to have to unpack that the reason this Black woman makes less than you do, white woman, to every dollar the white man makes, is because of racism.
Yeah. Well, it's similar to the discomfort.
They don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
So the feminism doesn't even go, I mean, that is like the first step into intersectionality, like just kind of like looking at women of different races. But then it goes, there's so many different layers of privilege and oppression to that effect. And like when you start thinking about people who are born poor or born into maybe parents who aren't as educated as yours, or all kinds of things, like when you start taking into account all the different hardships that people face just because of where they were born into society, you have to start looking at your feminism in a way that includes the people who are the most marginalized.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I feel like that's why white feminism has a different, that's why we call it white feminism as opposed to like what I consider true feminism, which is, which is making sure that the people who suffer the most are being uplifted.
Yeah, lifting up. Give
because
that person
when
the
we,
microphone.
When we figure out that person's issues, when we solve that person's problems, when we fix society in a way that benefits that person, the rest of us will by nature have been lifted up.
Yeah.
White women, you are like, you are literally just one step below white men. I know maybe it doesn't feel that way to you, but like,
no,
society, seriously, y'all are right there.
It depends. I mean, sometimes I still think men in general sometimes are still, I mean, obviously, I mean, I think I definitely agree Black people are treated like second class citizens in America.
Definitely, always.
And anyone who's like thinks any differently, I'm like, yeah, you're not really living in like the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're too wrapped up in your own.
No, and so like, what are things that white women can do like
better or more of, or
right?
Because every white woman who is white and a feminist, like white feminism to me, I have this idea of, but I don't think, but that my opinion doesn't fucking matter on this. that not every white woman has that white feminist negative connotation to her.
Right.
But I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think if you're concerned that maybe you fall into the white feminist category, all you really have to do is change your approach. Like,
yeah.
Take an honest look at yourself. Like, is this something that I do? Do I exclude women of color, disabled women, women from other countries, like whatever? Do yeah. I do that? Maybe you didn't do it on purpose. It doesn't mean like you were setting out to be a bad person. It's just somebody saying, listen, what you consider feminism is not including people who have it much worse off than you do. And so it's like, it's important to use your position of privilege in our society to uplift the people that the majority or those in privilege would not listen to anyway. Yeah. But that goes for all of us. Like, I may be Black and a woman and queer in America, and that's like, that's not good. You
know?
That's
a lot of layers.
But I was born into a very educated family. I had a great childhood. I've been very well educated. I do very well for myself. And I hold privileges over other people in society. I'm cisgender. I can very easily pass for like straight. I'm not visibly queer, whatever that sure. means.
You have a large platform.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And so it is my responsibility to take the privileges that I have and uplift the people who are not being listened to. That's why I talk about Black trans women who have been murdered or like yeah. whatever. Like, there's so many different people that it maybe doesn't affect me directly, but it's my responsibility to talk yeah. about those things, to bring attention to those in whatever way that I can. And I feel like we all have that individual responsibility.
Yeah. Because I think so often as white people, I mean, like, it seems like it's like almost now like we're expected to apologize for privilege, when I'm like, well, wouldn't the time be better spent yeah. using the privilege yes. like you just talked yes. about to
please
uplift
don't apologize.
Others?
People get very defensive when you say, when you confront them with like a privilege, like when you yeah. say, well, you have this privilege, you have, and it, a lot of people get really defensive.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, if it's because they feel uncomfortable or because they don't want to think that they do, or, but I don't know, or they put their problems in this box that like, these are the problems of the world. And it's like their problems are so narrow-minded about it. But I always thought that was so, like, people get so defensive if you say what you said was racist. That doesn't mean you're the worst person in the world, but like, fucking examine yourself yeah. and like,
well,
think back to what
you said.
We're
all racist a little. I mean, it's almost impossible not to be, just,
I mean,
because
yeah,
it's like a little, it's ignorance. And then just, as you learn more, you unpack
right.
racism.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and we have all been indoctrinated into it. Like yeah. it's, you don't even really realize that you hold racist beliefs or feel a racist way until you are directly confronted with it a lot of the time. And that goes for people of color. A lot of people of color hold racist beliefs against other people of color because of mm. anti-Blackness, because that is prevalent in our society. It is taught in our society.
Yeah.
Like immigrants, there are lots of immigrants who come to America and learn very quickly to adopt an anti-Black mindset mm. in order to assimilate better into this society.
Yeah.
Because if you hate Black people, you're fitting in.
Yeah.
Oh, so, now you're American.
Yeah. And right. some white people really just assume that all white people feel that Black people are less than. Because I mean, people have said things in front of me just like assuming because I am white, I feel a certain way, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking
I always wonder
about?
If that happens, if y'all are like, yeah. if that happens,
it 100%
like,
happens, and every time I'm like, what year is it again? Like, it's just like, yeah. it blows my mind that people just assume that. Like, really.
I do though say, and I'm trying to not do this all, often, but like speaking with hyperbole often, like, well, white people fucking suck. But I do think that a lot of white people are.
See, because I get mad because I don't think I suck. And I heard you talking like, you know, if we're marching for women's rights, were you out marching for Trayvon and Mike Brown? And I was out marching for Trayvon and okay. Mike Brown. And I would be, and I agree with you that we're very selective with our
yeah.
liberalism and with feminism. It's very selective. It's like, oh, is this affecting me directly? And if not, like, am I pissed about it? Like,
yeah.
no, like I'm super pissed about it.
But when we talk about white women and we say, you know, white women need to do better, and maybe yeah. you are one of the white women who is already doing better. We're addressing the majority of you who voted for Donald Trump when it came out.
So many.
When it came time to vote.
And we addressed that as well. And
right,
it was fucking
right. So,
ridiculous.
Right, right. So then when the thing is that we're not afforded the luxury of being individuals.
Right.
When Black girls do something, it is a,
your whole race,
you're either a credit
blamed.
To your race or you're a disgrace to it. And there's like, you are not an individual person. I am always a Black woman. And so the things I do are representative of Black women. Mm. So we're saying white women, and maybe it's not you, white woman, but white women, y'all, because y'all did this,
mm-hmm.
We're talking to you about this.
Yeah.
We want you to address. And if you're one of those people who is already doing better, then we want you to keep doing that. We want you to use your platform, your position, your proximity to people who are racist or whatever else to educate them
something.
And to make them do better. Yeah. Right. That's what
don't
we're
let
saying.
The uncle at Thanksgiving dinner just fucking say some side ass comment.
I mean,
like,
and
confront
that,
that.
I'm sure it gets exhausting, like, but it gets exhausting for us too, because I have,
it's gotta be,
I mean, I have homophobic family and it like hurts my heart to hear them say random off the cuff things that they maybe don't think are homophobic. But at the same time, like, if we do not check the people closest to us, if we don't say anything, what changes?
And then on the last thing that I heard you talking about, it was I think media does a really poor job of covering issues in the Black and in other communities, but we'll just talk about the Black community right now, as far as like you were specifically talking about, like the Jennifer Lawrence leaked nudes and how everyone got up in arms when her nudes were leaked, but it had happened before to a number of Black celebrities.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you know, I didn't even fucking know about the Rihanna leaked pictures. And I would have been angry about that too, but it's like, why does it have to be a white girl?
Something bad happens to a white girl.
But it's because we don't know about it. And so how do we help? How do we force the media? I mean, because it's like, so this is such like a, I went to see Hidden Figures, but I did go to see Hidden Figures. Because there are not a lot of movies, there are not enough movies made with Black women or men in the leading roles.
Right,
and so it's
true.
Like, if they are made, like, we'll go see them. But how do we force Hollywood? How do we force the media to cover a little Black girl's murder like they would a little like us.
Well, right. So the thing is, it's very difficult to force, especially these giant media companies that have, you know, all these restrictions and things in place. Like, you're probably not going to force them to change their programming or force them to take a look at news that doesn't exclusively affect white women. So what I've done is I just choose not to engage in news sources that I feel do a poor job of representing the issues that affect Black people. And instead I engage with media that I feel does a better job of representing issues that are affecting everybody. So there's lots of times.
Outlet? What are your favorite outlets?
Well, so I listen to a lot of podcasts, but I also read a lot of blogs online. So there are news, like I will selectively read like the Washington Post or the New York Times, but it's like depending on the day and how much shit Trump has done and whether I can take it all. But like CNN in particular, I do not watch unless someone has like sent me a particular link. Fox News, I never engage with, like sort of thing. If I feel like these giant news companies aren't being responsible with the way that they're reporting these things, or you're seeing like these things are happening and you're deliberately not covering the story, or you're deliberately showing one side or doing whatever else, like stuff that really I didn't start paying attention to until after Mike Brown was murdered in Ferguson. And we saw such a huge difference in what was being reported on TV versus what the people on the ground on Twitter, you know, taking pictures and videos were sharing with us as far as like what was actually happening. So I started my distrust of the major media probably around then. And now I kind of have these few outlets I go to online selectively to watch. I watch a lot of BBC if I'm watching.
NPR.
I listen to a lot of NPR too. So, but as far as like televised news, really other than the BBC, I don't watch a lot of it because it's just, I don't trust it. I don't trust what you're saying.
Yeah, but I was just read the other day that there's a, in upstate New York, there's a 75-year-old white dude from Connecticut who's being tried because he was plotting a terrorist attack.
Right.
But no one's fucking talking about it. But if the guy was Muslim, all the CNN would be right on top of that, because that fear, that let's create a narrative, and fear can control people.
Right.
And people can believe. And it's like, it's such a sin.
Because it's not like the Hollywood version of terrorism. Like, oh, that doesn't really fit into what we think terrorism is.
Like, who shoots up middle schools, majority? Young white men.
Right.
If you line them all up. But no one's stringing that together.
It's frustrating because it's like, how do we even, like, what can we say to the people who are running these networks to be like, could you be a little less shitty with your coverage, please? Like, could you actually maybe do a better job of talking about every side of a story, or maybe not trying to present something in such a way that it makes it look like people who are literally protesting the death of someone else, like, deserve to be shot with rubber bullets or tear gas or anything else? Like, can you be just,
or you seeing the few people that riot as, well, that's what Black Lives Matter is. I'm like, or no, it's just not.
Right. And
subscribe,
it's irresponsible.
To the fucking emails. Like, they denounce that activity. They denounce that. Like,
in every group, there's always going to be a couple people who interpret it incorrectly and then just go.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, I think it's been more of like supporting the media that I believe in, or supporting the media that, you know, does the work that I think should be done. But I don't have a lot of hope in the major networks to ever really get their shit together. I don't. Yeah. Maybe the worse this presidency gets, the realer they'll start getting. I've kind of noticed the networks are biting back against some of the stuff that Trump has said about the media and how all their polls are lying and everyone's lying and this.
Well, because he just made stuff up and then it just works. Makes it,
right.
And it works.
It works because people literally do not care about facts, you guys. And it was like,
I know, that's so fucking
But coming to that realization. Enough, like chutzpah, you're yes. like, oh, I think.
Yes.
Because it's like, was Donald Trump more entertaining than Hillary Clinton? Yes. But that's not, this is not Entertainer of the we're Year not, Award.
Right. We're not voting for
what
like,
are you doing?
DJ at the party, you guys. Yes. Like, we're voting for like leader of the country. He is a dick. And like, there are all these facts out about how awful he is. And people simply do
they
not
care. They want to get mad over stupid shit.
And people frequently are voting in the best interest of their privilege as opposed to their best interest yes. as an individual person. There are so many poor white people who cast votes for Donald Trump who are going like, to see
Donald
their lives.
Donald Trump doesn't give a fuck about your poor
he's
white
He's taking
ass.
Your
you
dear
really think so?
ACA.
His whole thing is being super rich.
It is.
That's his whole brand.
You thought he was going to look out for you?
Why would he give a fuck about you?
He's made money off not paying people just like you. What are you talking about?
It's
people
crazy
do not
to me.
Care.
And they don't want to believe it. So they're like, you're wrong.
Yeah.
But that's why the beauty of podcasting, that is not controlled by ads. Like we can, you know, we started this podcast.
I love the way you guys do your ads.
I mean, sometimes they try to control us by saying like, that wasn't the way we asked you to do an ad, but you know,
well, it's the way I did it. So sorry. But we, you know, we're very much like we get the spot, like the sponsors that want to advertise. And we're like, no, we don't want to advertise. We don't advertise with alcohol just because we talk about alcohol enough and young kids and it just doesn't make sense. But like, no one's saying you can or cannot say XYZ at all. And that's what I love about podcasting because it's the only true democratic form of media. I mean, it's one person's opinion a lot of the times, but it's still unfiltered and it's not being paid for. The opinion is not being purchased.
Yeah. We have total control over what we say. So it's nice.
Yeah. And speaking of that, we need to let you go because I know you have to go somewhere, where can we find you?
So I have a website, crisle.com. That's C-R-I-S-S-L-E. I'm on the Read every week. You can find us in iTunes, SoundCloud, your favorite podcast listening place. It is called The Read, or at thisistheread.com.
Yay. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much
for
having me, you guys. This was fun.
This was very fun.
All right. It was a pleasure. Thanks, Mike Brown.
Yo, Mike Brown.
Thanks for listening to Guys We Fuck the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday.
No, tonight I get high, I get low. With the pain and the trials that I go through the fire, then I. Get high when I'm local. On my grind on the go-go. Wanna get mine, it's the motto. Till this shit blow like a C4L. I stay fly, never local. On my grind on the go-go. Wanna get mine, it's the motto. Till this shit blow like a C4L. Some made me feel like I couldn't make it. So I knew the walls that I had to break. Chances I had to take, and all the bullshit I had to take. When you got it, they don't get it. When they do, they never credit. Eagle wins, you gotta spread it. Take off, leave them, don't regret it. I got a billion reasons to be winning. Old team going in every inning. Time will tell, you know that shit be snitching. This ain't no happy ending, we beginning. Hey. Beginning. We winning. Hey. This ain't no happy ending, we beginning. This ain't no happy ending, we beginning. Hey. No, tonight I get high, I get low. With the pain and the trials that I go through. Through the fire, then I.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible,
simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.